President-elect Lai Ching-te has named his national security lineup. On May 20th, the post of defense minister will go to Wellington Gu, who's currently secretary general of the National Security Council. He'll be replaced at the NSC by current foreign minister Joseph Wu. Another key post, that of foreign minister, will go to Lin Jialong, current secretary general to the president. Lai said the new team comprises outstanding talent that will work together to tackle unprecedented challenges.
President-elect Lai Ching-te and Premier-designate Zhuo Rongtai have announced the leaders of Taiwan's incoming national security team.
The world at large is experiencing severe geopolitical shifts, the rise of regional hegemony, the restructuring of global supply chains, and a change in value systems. As such, our national security team will be facing unprecedented challenges. The people I have asked to join our national security team are all outstanding talent who will work together in areas including national defense, national security, diplomacy, and cross-strait affairs.
Taiwan's next foreign minister will be Presidential Office Secretary General Lin Jialong. Wellington Ku will take over as Minister of National Defense. The National Security Council will be headed by Foreign Minister Joseph Wu, while Tsai Ming-yen will remain as National Security Bureau Director General. The Mainland Affairs Council will be led by Qiu Jui-zheng. Former Defense Minister Yan Defa will take over as Veterans Affairs Council Head. Pan Meng-an will become Presidential Office Secretary General, and Vice Premier Zheng Wen-chan will serve as the head of the Straits Exchange Foundation. Lai emphasized that the new national security team has three characteristics: professional expertise, good team rapport, and a deep sense of duty to the nation. As China ramps up its pressure on Taiwan, the team will have the important task of safeguarding the country. All the appointees have experience serving in the Tsai administration, but amid heightened tensions with China, some picks have raised criticism. In particular, the choice of a civilian as defense minister and a non-diplomat as foreign minister.
Today's defense minister is different from those in the past who needed to focus solely on military affairs. Wellington Ku has talent in a wide variety of areas. I think that, at the current stage, he is the best choice to lead the defense ministry. As President-elect Lai just mentioned, it is not uncommon for civilians to assume the office of defense minister in democratic countries. It is a big responsibility, so I will be cautious and prudent. Diplomacy is an extension of domestic affairs. Due to Taiwan's situation, diplomacy is something closely intertwined with our survival and development. I will approach my role with the utmost caution and give it my all.
The next national security team has taken shape. On May 20th, the new government is set to lead the country steadily forward.
President-elect Lai Ching-te says China should have the confidence to engage with Taiwan. At the press conference where he announced his national security team, Lai repeated his past offers to engage with Beijing, so long as talks are under the principles of equality and dignity.
The two sides of the strait should engage in confident exchanges that enhance the well-being of the people on both sides. I have never wavered in my belief in this. I am very much looking forward to China having the confidence and the willingness to deal with a democratically elected and legitimate government that the Taiwan people entrusted. Only then can cross-strait exchanges proceed on the right path.
On May 20th, Lai's inaugural address is set to be closely watched by major global players, including China. Weeks ahead of the big moment, the president-elect is already dropping hints on what to expect. Tainan is getting an MRT. The project's first phase has passed its environmental impact assessment. Construction on the Blue Line will start in late 2026, with completion slated for 2031. The line will feature 10 stations on an elevated track that runs through Yongkang and East districts.
Phase 1 of Tainan MRT's Blue Line has cleared its environmental impact assessment. construction is slated to start in late 2026.
还蛮乐观其成.
I'd welcome an MRT. The sooner it is built, the better. Being able to ride the metro would make things much more convenient for me.
我是觉得说,
I don't think there's really a need for an MRT system in Tainan. Everyone rides scooters anyway. Just look at the buses. They barely have any passengers.
The city says the line will help connect key parts of the city.
系统是采用高架。
The MRT system will be elevated, so the stations and tracks will be built on pillars located on the center reservations of roads.
In the project's first phase, 10 stations will be built, spanning 8.39 kilometers across the densely populated Yongkang and East districts. The line is expected to open in 2031.
Junior high students in Kaohsiung are fundraising for a trip to Sweden to compete in a major handball contest. The handball teams of Yangming Junior High have long dominated the domestic leagues, in both boys' and girls' section. The boys' team previously visited Denmark to play against other young people from around the world. Now it's the girls' turn to head to Sweden. But will they make up the funds they need in time? Let's head to Kaohsiung for more.
This group of students is the girls' handball team at Yangming Junior High, Kaohsiung, and they're fundraising to go compete overseas.
谢谢!
A member of the public caught this footage and put it on social media in the hope of helping them raise more money. Yangming Junior High is famous for both its boys' and girls' handball teams, which have won clutches of gold and silver medals at handball tournaments across Taiwan. In 2019, the boys' team represented Taiwan at the Dronninglund Cup, Denmark's international youth handball tournament, and went home undefeated after 11 wins. Now, it's the girls' team who want to go compete in the cup in Gothenburg, Sweden in July.
Altogether, 8 students and one coach will go together for about 2 weeks. Since the pandemic, the expenses for one person will be at least 100,000 NT.
When the boys' team went abroad before, they fundraised on the street too. And this time, the girls are raising money with their parents in support.
The Department of Education will cover some of the expenses, 25,000 NT, I think. The Sports Administration will also cover 15,000 NT. The remainder will, of course, be the school and parents and the community, everyone working together. Actually, strictly speaking, they haven't raised a whole lot of money, but the parents wanted to make the kids realize it's not that adults should stump up all money so they can experience how money doesn't grow on trees.
These girls are working hard to make their dreams a reality, and whether or not they come home with a trophy, they'll have plenty to be proud of.
For the first time in Taiwan, a Formosan mountain dog could be about to become a police dog. The indigenous Taiwanese dog breed is very friendly and strong, but has never been used for police work before. Now, Jaguar is well on the way to becoming a bomb detection officer. The 9-month-old has won approval from his handlers in the New Taipei Police Department.
A moment ago, Jaguar was playing with his handler, but when he puts on his jacket, he follows each command instantly. This Formosa mountain dog is a fresh face on the New Taipei Police Force. He sniffs suspicious tins out. Jaguar can tell with one sniff where the explosives are hidden. He shuts his mouth and sits down to say, "It's here." Many people think of easy to train and reliable breeds like German Shepherds or Labradors when they hear the phrase police dog. This is the first time New Taipei has branched out to a Formosan mountain dog, and Jaguar has passed the training with flying colors, doing much better than many expected.
They are as small as Labradors and easy to train and friendly, but they have the endurance of a wolfhound, the stability of a wolfhound, and excellent stamina. We use the olfactory box and give him 3 chances to see if he can find it, but normally he gets it on the first time.
Jaguar is currently in training to become a bomb detection officer. He's already very familiar with the smells of C4 explosives and dynamite. But at just 9 months old, he's a teenager in dog years and is bursting with energy. He still needs training to develop his reliability.
TSMC has unveiled its newest semiconductor process, the A16. At a conference in California, TSMC said the process will be used for ultra-advanced 1.6 nanometer chips as early as 2026. The announcement is a direct challenge to rival Intel over who can make the world's fastest chips.
The headline on Reuters says it all. At the 2024 North America Technology Symposium in Santa Clara, TSMC unveiled its A16 semiconductor process. It will be used to produce 1.6 nanometer chips as early as 2026.
TSMC's advanced process will integrate technology from the 2 nanometer process. The A16 process will offer an upgrade on backside power delivery and feature superpower rail architecture. That is to say, the power delivery network will be placed on the backside of the chip, separate from the signal component, that allows for a higher density of signal interconnects.
The A16 technology puts TSMC one step ahead of competitors such as Intel and Samsung. The process will improve speed, energy efficiency, and logic density, positioning TSMC to meet AI demands. But the good news failed to sway investors in the stock market. TSMC shares closed down 17 NT on Thursday to end at 766 NT.
After all, the process will only start commercial production in 2026, so the discussions about this chip technology at the tech symposium were more about the future, more about a direction for TSMC's technological development. Regarding the impact on TSMC's performance, currently it seems that manufacturing in advanced processes has already hit full capacity, so it's challenging for the new chip technology to significantly lift financial growth prospects.
Dragged by heavyweight stocks, the TAIEX lost 274 points, falling back below the 20,000-point mark. Whether the index will regain the threshold remains to be seen.
The three-day Touch Taiwan Expo opened Wednesday at Taipei Nangang Exhibition Center. In collaboration with industry partners, the Ministry of Economics Affairs is showing 23 forward-looking display technologies. They include Taiwan's largest curve interactive display, featured in an installation titled Wishing Tree. The tree has even been the backdrop to a marriage proposal, a moment celebrated in a short film produced by eTree, the Industrial Technology Research Institute.
Distinguished guests gather on stage at the launch of the Economics Ministry's Display Technologies Pavilion. President-elect Lai Ching-te was present to show his support. The 2024 Touch Taiwan Expo opened Wednesday at Taipei Nangang Exhibition Center. At the three-day expo, eTree is showcasing its collaborations with the private sector. The Wishing Tree installation features Taiwan's largest curved interactive display, measuring 375 inches. Visitors can upload wishes to the tree using mobile technology. The tree even served as backdrop for a marriage proposal, a moment celebrated by eTree in a short film.
The tree was displayed at Wei Wuying for nearly 3 years. Nearly 3 million people interacted with it.
Besides the Wishing Tree, there's the high-clarity transparent projection window. It's the world's first large-scale transparent projection technology. It's not limited by projection distance, affording viewers an enhanced experience at exhibitions and sports events. There's also this transparent vehicle display. It can be integrated into car windshields to present in-vehicle information and details on the driver's physiological state for enhanced driving efficiency and safety.
This head-up display can present a variety of in-vehicle information on the windshield. As for the high-clarity transparent projection window, as you look at a sports field outside, the information is shown in real time on this screen inside the VIP room. The Wishing Tree helped bring one couple together in marriage.
In 2023, the global display market was estimated to be worth $108.1 billion. Working with the private sector, eTree aims to use technology to bring more convenience to everyday life.
A Taiwanese-American drag queen has been crowned the victor of season 16 of RuPaul's Drag Race. Nymphia Nguyen clinched the top spot in the drag race final last week. The long-running U.S. reality show is the most celebrated stage for drag queens worldwide. The queen, who is a seamstress by trade, made many of her Taiwan culture-themed costumes personally. Her victory inspired a note of congratulations from none other than President Tsai Ing-wen, who wrote on Instagram, "Taiwan thanks you for living fearlessly."
This next drag superstar is... Nymphia Nguyen!
The final of RuPaul's Drag Race was won by Taiwanese-American contestant Nymphia Nguyen, who fell to her knees in shock when the result was announced.
To those who don't feel like they don't belong, just remember to live fearlessly and have courage to live your truth. And Taiwan, this is for you!
She competed with drag queens from all over the world over 3 months to win the biggest accolade of the drag world, storming her way to the final with a succession of outrageous costumes and performances.
She is bananas! It's Nymphia Nguyen!
This costume is based on the banana, Taiwan's emblematic fruit. Her bizarre yet cutesy style made big waves with US audiences. For the final, she and two American contestants went head-to-head in a final showdown. I'll be in your head all weekend. Nymphia changed into a bubble tea-inspired costume, releasing a storm of black tapioca pearls up to the ceiling. Her lip-sync performances were always surprising. She is the first Taiwanese-American to be crowned on the show, and said she had wanted to break the show's Asian curse, a long dearth of success for Asian contestants.
Ah! Give us theater, yes!
President Tsai Ing-wen posted on Instagram to congratulate Nymphia, stating, "Taiwan thanks you for living fearlessly." 28-year-old Nymphia Nguyen, whose real name is Liu Cao, was born in the US and moved to Taiwan with her family aged 6. She fell in love with dance and sewing as a child, and studied sewing and clothing design in the UK. She first began performing drag in 2018 and still makes many of her eye-popping costumes herself by hand.
So I just wanted to come here and really show a rich, rich Asian culture. For me, fashion is, you know, being able to make something pretty. It was just a way for me to communicate to the world. All I said to myself was, I'm here to break the Asian curse. I am not gonna be out.
Nymphia often mentioned Taiwan on Drag Race and put her love for her country into many costumes, fetting bananas, pearl milk tea, and traditional Taiwanese opera. Her win is a garland for Taiwanese culture and an advert for the evolving diversity of Taiwanese society.
Originally from Japan, entrepreneur Leo Sato likes the business environment in Taiwan. Here, there isn't pressure to socialize with colleagues after work. Putting down roots in Taiwan, he opened a digital marketing company to help Japanese businesses advertise in Taiwan and introduce Taiwanese agricultural products to Japan. He also takes videos of famous foods, helping Japanese people get to know Taiwan.
Leo Sato arrives at his Taipei office promptly at 10 a.m. and says good morning to his colleagues. An entrepreneur from Japan, this is his daily life. Familiar with videography, he is sharing tips with Japanese people on how to start a company in Taiwan.
You can't just get 500,000 NT and then start a company. It's actually quite complicated. First, you have to transfer 500,000 NT from a foreign account to a Taiwanese account. If you can't do that, you can directly transfer money to a company account from a local Taiwanese account.
After graduating from university, Sato found it difficult to adapt to Japanese working culture. When fate brought him to Taiwan to start a business, he became familiar with the working culture of both countries.
For example, if I'm a new employee and want to do something, my supervisor can just say no, new people shouldn't do this or that. The hierarchy is very strict. I think there's a lot of pressure from work in Japan. After moving to Taiwan, I found that while the work here can still be stressful, it comes only from the work itself. there isn't pressure to go out and socialize with your supervisors.
In 2017, Sato opened a digital marketing company with his friends. The company not only helps Japanese business with marketing in Taiwan, but also markets Taiwan to Japan. Taking out different types of peanuts, Sato and his colleagues taste and discuss the different flavours. They are helping introduce the Taiwanese black diamond peanut to Japan. Sato also shoots and edits films of famous foods, hoping they will become popular in Japan.
Next, I want to understand the history and economy of each region, like what industries they have. For my videos, I want to first gain a deeper understanding of Taiwanese people so that I can conduct better research on each area.
Now an entrepreneur in Taiwan, Sato has put down roots, building the stable and peaceful life of his dreams.
Days of rain have brought good news for Taiwan's drought outlook. Since the start of the week, the nation's reservoirs have received over 50 million tons of water combined. The biggest beneficiaries are reservoirs in the north and central regions, with Liyu Lake in Miaoli leading the gains. In the north, Shimen Reservoir has risen to 25.2% capacity. Feicui Reservoir has broken past the halfway mark. Farther south, Deji Reservoir in Taichung has reached 57.6%. Samu Lake in Nantou now stands at 86.6%.